All right, I'm David Brooks. Good afternoon. So to know the natural world is also to know how we utilize it. And on a physical level, that can be in many different ways. We can sequence it, DNA. We can eat it. We can catch it. We can harass it. We can cherish it. We can help it. We can catch it. And we can count it. And I think that some of the people that are sort of the most radical thinkers of today that utilize the physicality of the natural world as far as a way of knowing us, knowing how we fit into it, are conservation biologists. So in order for conservation biologists to understand, in this case, an armored catfish in the Amazon, they also have to understand the geology of that environment and how the rivers have changed over millions of years, the local cultures and how they utilize these fish, the global economics and how these fish create value, and so on and so forth. In order to look further into the physicality of these very things, in order to know where we sit with them and what they are. So in our own built environment, we can do the same thing. If you look at just the sidewalks that you came to this auditorium on, sidewalks composed of concrete, concrete being primarily composed of cement, cement being composed primarily of limestone. Now, limestone is actually the majority of the limestone on Earth is actually composed of marine organisms from 150 million or pre 150 million years old, the calcium deposits from their skeleton and carapaces. So this is sort of my cartoon version of the process of how we go about harvesting limestone, heating it up to extremely high temperatures, which causes a chemical reaction that is one of the worst polluters of carbon in the atmosphere. And then we go through this extraordinary, colossal scales of energy in order to create and move that material in order to make our built environment. So from a macroscopic view, this image of normalcy is actually quite absurd, because on a larger level, it's sort of an insane process or a suicidal process, and yet it is the very foundation of our built environment. So here, this is a construction. It's called Natural Vulgaris. You enter the gallery from the right-hand side, and you automatically have to step onto the sculpture, and it's a very typical normal sidewalk. And then this sidewalk begins, this image of normalcy of the sidewalk begins to destabilize and become this sort of absurdist image of lifting and strain. Nothing's actually moving in this, but it's almost like if you're holding a 50-pound bag of sand but not moving your arm. It's this image of sheer strain and this exertion that goes into maintaining an image of normalcy. On the next slide, we'll see sort of a panorama of how you have to enter the gallery, and then it slowly becomes this destabilized force. So I think also it's just a matter of, again, engaging the physicality of the viewer in relationship to the work in order to create what I'd call like a visceral portrait of these invisible dynamics that exist behind our own infrastructures. Also, on the next image, we'll see this 16-foot tree that's sort of uncomfortably being crammed into the skylight. So it creates a month-long struggle between the tree and the skylight. The sidewalk ends, it terminates here, so it's sort of a pointless display of exertion going on. So these are gantry cranes, and they're very typical tools for lifting large quantities of material. So, you know, if our daily priorities echo out into our larger infrastructures and shape them in a certain way, and those large infrastructures shape a larger environment, and that comes back around and shapes the priorities of our daily lives, then I think that there's big gaps in between them, in a sense. So I try and create symbols that one can digest on an individual basis as a viewer approaching something on their own physicality. So in this case, we have, these are called cherry pickers. It's not what I would say is a piece of infrastructure, but it is what I'd say is the hand that touches infrastructure. And so in this way, it creates an exaggerated sort of mechanical palm tree, in a sense. Now the irony with this piece is that this is at the Fisher Landau Center in Long Island City. In order to get to this piece and see this show, you actually pass three of them on the street, but their decontextualized state allowed them to see them in a new light. And so speaking of light, we have what's called a light gap in a forest. When a tree falls in a forest and takes out a hole in the canopy of the forest, palm trees are one of the few species that are designed to actually grow into that spurt of growth of light very quickly. And we have our own light gaps in our urban environments with dormant construction sites since the recession. So part of the idea was to have a whole armada of these still lifes, the cherry pickers, and they would migrate from the South Manhattan to Northern Manhattan at designated construction sites that have been dormant since the recession. So this is a project that's actually in process right now and hopefully to be developed this next coming year, before the end of the year. But we have the Lower East Side, Hell's Kitchen, and Midtown. So just like that palm tree reaches for the light gap, so do these cherry pickers reach towards the urban fabric light gap. So it leads me to the project that's at PS1 right now for Greater New York, Deforestation, an image that we've seen a million times, we're oversaturated with, but it's a phenomenon that's not actually getting smaller, it's only getting bigger each year, and its scale and speed are increasing, specifically with the development and growth of soy throughout the Amazon basin. And in order to export that soy very quickly out of the Amazon basin, we have to build roads. And so it's an unprecedented phenomenon going down and going on in South America at the moment of basically almost paving the Amazon in a sense. So there, once you build one road and it's official road, history has shown that it builds many, many more roads. So I realized that with this project that both this organic matter and the material of our built environment begin to define each other. So why leave them as separate discussions? We're going to collapse them together. So what I did is I went down to South Florida and got a bunch of trees from tree farms and nurseries, not trees that I plucked from an ecosystem, but ones that were grown for consumption, built an earthen hill in the duplex gallery, and then planted these trees to sort of approximate an idea of an Amazonian rainforest. And then we built a scaffolding around them, and then we proceeded to dump, pump, and spray some 70 tons of concrete on him. The title is Preserved Forest, so it's, of course, a satirical name. This attempt to encrust and preserve or entomb the forest in this concrete, but, of course, that sets two dynamics on a very physical level into motion with each other, where they begin to define each other. In the very beginning of the project, the first week of the piece, it appears like a sort of right after a freeze or a snowstorm, and it has a very seductive, almost magical quality. But as the show has gone on, and the trees begin to decompose, it really sets the two things into motion with each other. So it becomes an action, not a composition. So I think that's very important, because if we understand these phenomenons as imagery, deforestation as an image, not as an act, my idea is to sort of bring it back into its physicality and engage it with the viewer's own physicality. So at this point, it's also becoming like the vase of flowers that nobody threw out for 2 months, and it sat there on the coffee table spilling all of its leaves. But again, you are invited to go down and walk on it. I do a lot of projects that does engage sort of traversing or stepping onto it. You can see on the left image there, it's really like a displaced section of a forest, hence these clean edges where you always pluck out a piece of a forest in this geometric shape when you look at aerial views of plots of farmland, and specifically in the Amazon soy. And then over here we have like a very fossilized state that's going on. Also, I think that... But I think also this idea of a duration and something that you can see over a time, and I would emphasize again just that it's a matter of an action setting up a situation, not necessarily an object. And I think this is the last slide. I'm going to leave it there.